Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for that great spirit, the riches of your liberality that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive that which we call your word. And we declare and decree this morning that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and what? Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. We're still in the salvation series, right? We're still in salvation series, and one of the things we plan to teach during the Bible seminar, the everyday Bible seminar at the end of this month, is what? The book of Revelations, right? We want to touch Revelations a little within those few days. So we'll conclude the salvation series with that seminar. We'll conclude the salvation series with that seminar. I want to touch Revelations a little and explain a few things in the early chapters of Revelation. Like I said, I owe you Revelations chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Then the main chapters will be when? 2077, you remember. Yeah. God keep us till then. Hallelujah. Some of you already calculated your age. I suppose. When you throw 50 to my age now, where will I be? You know. But we'll teach that there. So I just really mean that we'll teach it some other time. Because before you understand Revelations, really, you should have understood a lot of basics in Genesis to Jude. Yeah? In fact, there's nothing new in Revelations. Revelation is one of the simplest books to read, so to say. Yeah, Revelation is one of the simplest books to read. Why? Because it tells you the revelation of Jesus. Reading Jesus is simple now. Abi, when you understand Ephesians, understand Galatians, Colossians, you should be able to have an understanding of Revelations. But the problem with Revelation is that we always want to see what Mommy Gio is seeing. That's our problem. We want to see what she is seeing. And because you have that mindset going into it, you will not see what you should see, which is Jesus. Oh, no wonder. No. Because they've told us so many things about Revelations. So everybody's scared to open Revelations. Hallelujah. Everybody's scared. Yeah, but look at Matthew 28. The Bible says in verse 18, and Jesus said unto them, all power, that's what authority is given unto me in heaven and in what? Earth. And he said unto them in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded. Lo, I am with you always till the end of time. So that's Matthew's Gospel 28. So that is Matthew's summary of the 40 days teaching in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? You know, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, that Jesus taught back to back for 40 days. He was teaching consistently. And now that teaching now spurs into a conclusion in the book of Matthew, and it summarizes the 40 days teaching with an instruction to go into the world. Altogether, Bible says in Acts 1, 2, 3, right, that until the day which was taken up by the Holy Ghost and it was seen of the apostles, you know, he was found teaching them for 40 days, speaking about the things of the what? Kingdom of God. Right, for 40 days. So 40 days teaching is summarized in supposedly 3 verses by Matthew, by Mark. Are we together? Right? So, for 40 days, Jesus was teaching. That's training. Hallelujah. That's training. You know, if you go to the gym for 40 days back to back, your body will tell you. Let me see it better. Because you can go to the gym and snap for 40 days and just and do, what do you call this, sharp video, reel. Snapping different clothes in the gym. Nobody will see improvement to your body. Yeah. So, you can, if you go to the gym for 40 days with a solid trainer, your body will tell you. So imagine listening to God. You see, there is nothing you give your heart to that you cannot be better at. There is nothing in this life. If you give your heart to lying, you'll be better in lying. I'm telling you. See, if you give your heart to stealing, you'll be better with stealing. There is nothing in this life that wants to introduce consistency, commitment, that you're not better at. It's the same thing with God's word. So if you are thinking, when will I start teaching God's word like this? When will I start looking like this? When will I start healing the sick like this? It is because you have not given solid commitment to it. If you give yourself to healing the sick in 1 month, every day, you'll be better at it. You will be better at it. That's instructive by Jesus. So Jesus is found teaching. I know the interesting thing. Jesus now teaches for 40 days. And the first question they deem fit to ask Oga is what? When will you again restore the kingdom of Israel? That's painful. That's painful. You know, sometimes when I think of myself as a pastor, for instance, I'm like, how will I teach somebody something for 40 days? And the first question you are asking me after 40 days teaching, you know, I should expect after I teach you, you say, okay, so what does Ezekiel now mean? What does Isaiah? So what, do you understand? To now think that you can summarize your question after 40 days to be, when will you change our president? You know, whilst we laugh at them, we laugh at ourselves also. We know some truths that we've heard and heard and heard and then that if we are asked to explain, we will not explain. For 40 days, back to back. So, it means, listen to me everyone, it means that in 40 days, Jesus did not tackle politics. Are we here? It means that Jesus for 40 days did not touch politics. Lord Jesus, Lord Savior, yes, we know. You are the I am that I am. You are the Alpha through Omega. Not just Alpha and Omega. You are all that is in between and at the end beginning. You know, Master, we see a gift of teaching on you. You know, you are one who is given to doctrine and sound. You know, you've spoken about the kingdom and all that. But when again will you restore again back the kingdom of Israel? Where? Because at the time, they had an imposter in power. So they were trying to ask, when will you change this tyrant on the seats? And Jesus gives them an answer. It's not for you to know, but you shall know the time and season where you shall receive power. And last, moreover, verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses of me in where? Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the what? So the goal of God's kingdom is to be witnesses in the earth. Are we together? The goal of God's kingdom is to be witnesses in the earth. The goal of God's kingdom is to be witnesses in the earth. The goal of God's kingdom is to be witnesses in the earth. Like I would say over and over and over and over again. Yeah, God doesn't call people to be politicians. No, 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 no. Yeah, you see, God has called me to be this. God has called me to walk into politics. God has called me. How is politics done? Politics is done the way man decides politics should be done. Right? And like I always say, you win politics by either convincing the people or convincing the what? Ballot boxes. You shall must convince one, either the people or ballot boxes. Because politics is man-made. Are we together? You know, if you see through scriptures, you see in the place when Israel decided to want to ask for a king. It's in scriptures. Yeah? So, in the real sense, politics is not part of the redemptive work. But can a man redeemed be in politics? Yes, so you have a free will. Yeah, so that's why you have people in Nigeria who have generated their own party and said, God said they will be president. 20 years now is passing. You know, when you see a dream and you see God ask you to be president, be sure. Because nowadays we have presidents in almost all fields. President of NUC. President of Abua Chapel. I'll be president of DRC. Abby? So you say, God says you should be president. You did not ask God, God, which president? Are we together? Do you know why? Because people want to relate with what they can see. Ooh, wow. That guy is so down to earth. Wow. He comes to our restaurant even without roof and he eats pounded yam and soup. And they give us meat, and he tears the meat. He rolls his shears. He tears that's what people like. If you now, you're an opponent of that person, you just go there, you just wear white. Oh, you're over your bodyguard with gun, they are wearing white. I was okay. I said, what will happen? a lot of times what will happen is that they will collect your money and vote for the other person. Because they want a president to lead them who they can relate with. Are we together? So when it comes to the conversation of politics, it's not today that we started fighting that politics is not in the resurrection. Right from Acts 1. And what used to console me or comfort me is that if Jesus, the greatest teacher, can teach for 40 days and they came up with that question, that means I should expect it every now and then. Are we together? But Jesus taught for 40 days. The Bible says teaching concerning the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of men. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of the earth. Are we together? What was he teaching with? Bible tells you in Luke 24, verse 24. And certain of them went to several camps, found it even to other women, and said, but him, the Son, or then he said unto them, O fools, and so of how to believe all the prophets have spoken, not on Christ, as far as they enter into his glory, right? And beginning at where? Moses. And the what? Prophets. He expounded unto them now the scripture things concerning himself. So he went to Moses to explain himself from Moses. Are we here? Are we going to? Yeah. So he now tells them again in Luke 24:44. Yeah. These are the words which I speak to you while I was what? Yet with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the what? The law of Moses. Right? The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now we're able to pay attention to a few words on Friday. Tanakh. Remember that? Tanakh constitutes of what? The Torah, the Nevim, and the Ketuvim. Right? We try to explain. Some people are just looking at, hey, I went, hey. Right? Even some of us that were there say, hey. Yeah? So we said the writings summarized as the Tanakh, right? T-A-N-A-K. And we said they're divided into what? The Nevim, and Nevim, the Torah, which was Torah, the Pentateuch, first five books of Moses. And we have the Nevim. Examples of books in Nevim? Isaiah, Joe, Ezekiel. She's reading her book, don't worry, it's fine. At least better she wrote it. Better than some people that thought they would remember and did not write it. Yeah. So look at the other one. The last one was Ketuvim. And had to do with books like what? Ruth, Ezra, Lamentations, the Chronicles. That's fine. Let's chew them out together. That's fine. We're all God's people. Amen. So we said that was where Jesus taught primarily from. So when you see Jesus teaching for 40 days, their Bible in front of them was Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? Yeah, the theme of what he was teaching was about himself from the scriptures. So it means that when we look carefully into the scriptures, we see things concerning who? Jesus. Now, we've been paying attention to salvation for a while. And Paul will tell Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, 16, and that from a child thou hast what? Known the holy scriptures, which are able to what? Make thee wise unto salvation. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are what? Profitable for doctrine. For what? Reproof. For what? Correction. For what? Instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished unto what? Every good work. Are we together? So the goal of scriptures is salvation. The goal of scriptures is to point man to God's saving plan. So whilst men will have their experience and have it documented in scriptures, we should see the experience of a man, Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 1, verse 45, Bible tells you that Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, behold, he whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right? Then Jesus comes and says in John 5:39, he said to the scriptures, you think for in them you have life, but they are they which testify of me. They testify of me. They point to me. Do not think I have come to accuse you. Yeah, before the Father, even Moses whom you trust, right? And he says that if you had believed his writings, you would have believed my words. Yeah, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So it means that we need to pay attention to Moses amongst other Bible writers. So go to Genesis 1:11. We started there on Wednesday. Look at Genesis 1, verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Are we there? Have we gone home? Genesis 1:11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding what? Fruit after his kind." Fruit after his kind. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. It says, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was what? So now, remember we said something. We see the conversation of seed in Genesis chapter 1. Are we here? Look at Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 15. Are we there? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "I will put enmity between who? And the woman, and between thy and her seed. And it shall what? And thou shalt what?" So the seed in itself was now a concept used in communication by Moses in the book of Genesis. Now take a step back. Moses communicated in parables. Is that true? Why did he communicate in parables? Or let me start this way. What are parables? Illustrations or stories that point to other stories. So it means that when you listen to a parable, you need to listen attentively to what it is pointing you to. Are we together? Let me give you a parable, for instance. There was a particular city in which a man who was to gain employment, there's a particular city that was looking for a man to employ, however, looking for a very devout man. One of the men who was considered as an option lived far away from the city. And he was asked to resume every day at the palace of the city by 6 a.m. It takes him 2 hours to get to the city, but the king didn't care. Now, for the first day of resumption, the man, Mr. Silas, came into the city, but he came at about 6:05. And the king wasn't impressed at all because he was looking for a what? Devout man. And the second day, he came again at about 6:04, and the king wasn't impressed. And the third day, he came about 6:03, and the king wasn't impressed. On the fourth day, Mr. Silas thought that, rather than impress this man, and I'm trying my best and I'm not impressing him, let me just come by 6:30. And he kept on coming by 6:30, 6:25, 6:35 for the remaining days of the trial, which was about, let's say, 1 month. And on the last day, Mr. Silas comes, and the king instructs the palace guard to send him back to where he's coming from. That's a parable. But that parable is for some of you. Oh, you're not clicking. You're not clicking. That's a parable. It should be, you say, it's a story that points to another story. So I gave you a story with Mr. Silas and a city, but I'm talking to you. All together. God's palace city. Praise Jesus. Wednesday meeting, 6 o'clock. You come 6:30, sometimes 6:04, then 6:05, then sometimes 6:35. But on the last day, what is the last day really? What is the last day truly, really? You know, there's such a day as the last day where you stand in front of the audience of one, and there will be crowns heaped on your head, and there will be words spoken about you, and there will be things said about you. And at that point, you can't really change your attitude. Are we together? So what did I do this morning? I used the parable to communicate I use the parable to communicate some of our realities. Are we together? So why did Moses speak in parables? The Bible tells you in Matthew, look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Matthew 13, 1. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat the whole multitude stood at the shore. And he spake many things unto them in what? Saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth." Now look at verse 8. "But others fell into a good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, a hundredfold, and some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 9, look at what it says in verse 9. "Who had ears to hear, let him hear." Look at verse 10. It says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why do you speak in what? Parables. And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto what? You to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not what? Given. For whosoever hath this hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away that hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because what? Sin. They seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they what? Understand. And in them is fulfilled the what? Prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not what? Perceive." Look at verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. "For the people's heart, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and shall understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should what? Heal them." So, who are parables for? Parables are for those who fit into this description. Whose people, their hearts are what? Waxed gross. Their ears are what? Dull of hearing. So, why did Moses use parables? Moses used parables to communicate God's truth to them. Are we together? Moses used parables to communicate God's truth to them. Now, remember, Moses wrote Genesis to a people in Exodus. Are we together? Right? So what's the reason for the writing of Genesis? Exodus. What's the reason for Exodus? Genesis. You know, we've taught that before. Right? So Moses wrote Genesis with a people in mind. Moses was born in Exodus 1. Are we together? Yeah. And as at the time when Moses was born, right, around that period, you will see the conversion of when you see the king of Egypt, right, the Pharaoh, wanting to kill the children from the Israelite women. Is that true? Remember that? Then they sent in Hebrew midwives. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
To go and help them deliver their babies. Right? But the Hebrew midwives, because of the fear of God in their heart, what happened? They came back to lie to the king. What did they say? They said that the Hebrew women give birth easily. And even before we get there, they've given birth to their children. Was that a lie? Yes. But that, is that a doctrine today?
Yes.
You know, we'll be talking around a lie. You know, yeah, if you go to the labor room, you will give it. I decree the anointing of Hebrew women is upon you. Oh, God. Anybody that gives it, you will labor. Let's leave anointing. Let's put anointing in our pocket. You will labor with your anointing. There's nobody who has given birth and no labor. See, sometimes we like to amplify God's don't help God improve is your testimony. You know, sometimes we like to polish God's testimony more. Give me an instance. You come to church and share testimony. I prayed and I got the job. What part did you remove? You removed the part that you met the secretary behind closed doors. You forgot the part that when you gave God your offering, you gave secretary his own offering. All together. Why do we do all of that? We want to show that the God of Pastor Joshua, the God of this great commission, he answered his prayer by fire. No stress, just ease. Dear saints, you see, you know that there are some politics you have to play in your life. I don't sound like a pastor again, right? There are some politics that if you don't play, you can never get promoted at work. Do you know why I'm calling it politics? Do you know why I'm calling it politics? It's because there's no other name to give it. That's what it is. You are it's politics. Do you understand? But what we want to make God look like the all that is there. You see, I just joined this great commission, and in 6 months I got a contract. You forgot to tell us that you've been applying for 10 years. They didn't look at you. And in those 10 years, you've consistently given offerings. They've changed the national clerk. You still gave offering. They gave assistant. You still gave offering. They gave the head of government. You still gave offering. But because you want the church, you say, you're not going to call the mic. Praise the Lord. And people that God has not done anything for will look at you and say, hallelujah. What does I want to say again? Praise Master Jesus. Is that all for God? No, that's for pastor. Oh, that's for me. Right? Are you, God that gave you two legs, you are praising him on your seat. Is it that you don't have limb in your church? What happened to a lame man in your church? At the end of the day, he said, I want to thank God for the what? The salvation of my soul. And the man too, that is angry, says, now to your testimony. What a shame. He said, I'll tell you, because salvation also cannot be testimony. His salvation. Yeah. Now to your testimony. Children of God, I joined this great commission on the 6th of June, 2021. I joined the commission, battered, chattered, confused. Everything was going south for me. And I attended one meeting. Say one meeting. See, are there miracles that happen? Yes, now. Yes, now. Don't hear what I'm not saying. There are miracles that happen. There are people who actually genuinely did not deserve certain jobs and they gave it to them. That's the truth. But the truth is that, the reason why, so we ask yourself a question, why don't you take testimony in God's palace? Not because we don't have things happening amongst us, but because we want to put our hearts safe such that what gives us joy as a church is the testimony of Jesus. I would get that. So whether you have a job, you don't have a job, they carry your money and close their forex markets, they don't carry money and Sister Rose, it's me and you that know that one. Whether they close praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so whether you come and say, I invested in multiply, I did not invest in not multiply, I invested, they pack up, anything that happens, there's the testimony of the believer. Bible says, and they overcame by the word of the Lamb, which is the what? The words of their testimony, the message of their testimony. You know why? Because a lot of times, testimony lets people go back home depressed. And we pastors, we now encourage you. If God does it for somebody in your neighborhood, it means God is in the neighborhood. Okay? What if your neighbor pack out? I was saying, we'll follow him. If God bless you, your neighbor, rejoice for your neighbor, for God is the neighbor. If your neighbor pack out, you start relocating. All together. But it lets people go back home depressed. A lot of times unhappy. Because you start asking questions. How can somebody join this great commission in 6 months and see his life? I can see everything. Turning around, turning, turning, turning around. And you turn around, turn around, turn around. Everybody's turn. But for you, your one is not turning any round. The same, that is the as if it's standing ovation. You're just, your own situation is just there. Why would you go and you've been in that same church as a leader for 7 years? So what if it doesn't mean? So it means you want to live a depressed life all through. So that's why the testimony of the church is that we consistently remind ourselves of the victory over sin and death. The victory over the grave. That's our testimony. Are we together? Sometimes even those testimonies, they put pressure on you, the testifier. Because your testimony determines how people mark your face. Right? You say, you come to the altar, you say, I got a job that I couldn't count the zeros. And you are now telling pastor a few weeks after that your phone has not rested by church members. Why will he rest? You announce to everybody to bring their burdens. Abi, you want to what? Carry it. Altogether. So a lot of times people think that churches that don't have testimony, because I hear a lot of interesting things from some of you. Very brilliant, lovely testimonies that I can just do one video like this and say, God is with us. Say God is with us. Do one video and sponsor it on Instagram. You know, because why? People are looking for results. People are looking for what? Results. Result. Everybody wants. That's just the way the world is. Everybody wants to see something. So that is why you see we know those pastors. Or we know women of God who are in God's will by the results they show. If your church is not using, what's the name of this chair? Not red chair, there's a name you call executive chairs. If your church is still the plastic chair, check the calling. 7 years, plastic chair. Check the calling. If your church doesn't have LED screen, you've not started ministry. Eh? So are those things good? They are. But it requires what? Many. And many doesn't just come all of a sudden. Are we together? That's why you see, as pastor, that's why you see, what I'm working is to show you an example of what a pastor should do. There is not one apostle that did not labor with his hand. There is not one. They labored. You know, people ask me, why are you not doing full-time ministry? They're saying, what is fuller than what I'm doing here? What is fuller than what I'm doing here? Eh? I'm teaching every Sunday. I'm teaching Wednesday. It's not full-time I have to teach. Do I teach half our service and ask some sister to help me continue? What is more full than that? I'll call for vigil 9 o'clock. I'll start from 9 to 6. What is more full than that? But we feel like full-time ministry is 8 o'clock on Monday morning after you finish dishing the word on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning. Just come and report to the office. You know, carry your bag, go to the office. They arrange the table for you. Put on the AC. You kneel down. You give praise to God for the Sunday service. Then you start studying. But the truth is that you need to actually... So I'm doing what I'm doing as an example for you to learn. For you to see and follow. That we are all in that. We are all on the streets together. Why? So that I can bring what I get from the streets, put it in the church basket. You bring what you get from the streets, and we what? Take care of needs amongst ourselves. How together? So, back to what I was saying. Why did Moses use parables? Because of the state of heart of the people he what? Spoke to. So Jesus says he spoke parables as well because of the heart of the people that he was speaking to. So it means that when you go back to Genesis, you see Genesis in a parabolic form. When you see a parable, you take note of what is being spoken. So when it says, and the fruit-yielding trees shall bring forth fruit after his kind, Jesus says that's a parable. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head, he says that's a parable. So it means we need to pay attention to who is the seed. Paul now tells you in Galatians, and to Abraham was the promise of the seed made. And he said, not as to seeds as of what? Many, but seeds as of one, which is Christ. So it means that when you start seeing seed, because the promise of the seed to Abraham is the same promise of the seed to Isaac. Is that true? Same promise of the seed to Jacob, and the same to from the beginning, Genesis 1. All together. So look at John 12. John 12. John 12, 24. Are we in John 12? Are we in John 10, 24? John 12, 24? So it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the what? Ground, and what? Dies, it what? Abide alone. But if it dies, it what? Bringeth forth much fruit. What is that parable in reference to? Look at the previous verse 23. It says, and Jesus answered them, saying, what? The hour is come that the Son of Man should be. So how can Jesus come? So Jesus comes and says, this hour has come that the Son of Man was glorified. And he now goes into the parable of a seed. Except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it what? Brings forth much many, much more fruit. So it means that Jesus was to die to bring many sons into glory. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Yeah, Jesus is in that parable used. Jesus in that parable will be the seed that is to die to what? Bring many sons into glory. Are we together? So look at John 1:1. Or before you get to John 1:1, you can look at Luke 8:11. Look at Luke 8:11. Then hold your hand in John 1:1. Look at, are you in Luke 8? If you look at Luke chapter 8 verse 5, Esau went out to sow his seed, and he, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trending down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, where did the parable start from? Esau went out to what? Look at verse 11, verse 9. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? What parable were they asking about? The parable of the sower that went out to sow. Are you there? What did Jesus now say in verse 10? And he said unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not hear, and hearing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand, and seeing they might not see rather. Now the parable is this. What is the parable about? The seed is the word of God. So a sower went to sow a seed is a parable of Jesus. He now tells you that the seed that the sower sows is the what? The word of God. So can we say seed is the word? Is seed the word? Is seed the word? So the seed is the word of God. So what you should think about in that parable is, who is now the sower? Who is the seed? Jesus answers who the seed is, right? And he says the seed is the word. So look at John 1. The word of God. Word. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. The seed is the what? The seed is the? So look at John 1. Let's read John 1:1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the seed is the Word. So can we replace Word with seed? So in the beginning was the seed, and the seed was, and the seed was lovely. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, can you see God and the giving of his Son? In the parable of Jesus that speaks about sower and seed, who is the seed in John 3:16? The Son. All together. The Son. Who is Jesus? And who is the Word? So, in parable of seed and sower, who is the sower from John 3:16? God. So, God gave himself, right? Or let me say it better. Let's take a step at a time. God is the sower who gives the seed of the Son. Then John 1 now tells you, in the beginning was the Word. Right? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So, God is the seed. Or let me say it better. God is the sower that gave himself as the seed. Did you get that? God is that sower that gave himself as the seed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was flesh. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, the sower is the seed. What an inheritance we have. So except a corn of wheat falls to the ground, who is the corn of wheat? Is that the seed? Is that the seed? Is that the Word? Is that God? So God had to die to bring many sons into glory. Hallelujah. So the conversation of Jesus and his death, Jesus did not die to appease God. But really, the death of Jesus is God showing himself to appease your mind. They're different. They're different. Because you would have thought that God was a tyrant who was unhappy and needed to be appeased. That is a babalawo. Are we together? It's a babalawo that needs to see blood to calm down. And yet Jesus is saying, all other gods, they are the works of men. A God that requires you blood from your hands before he calms down is not a God that is a God that is made with your hands. So, God did not need the blood of Jesus. That's why we paid attention to him. What happened in 3 days. Yeah, the blood of Jesus was not to God at all. At all. At all. At all. Yeah, so Jesus did not appease God with his blood. No, that's herbalistical. Yeah, that's shongolistical. That's amadiolistical. But God really is the sower who gives himself as a seed to appease your conscience. So where was the sacrifice made to? It was made to your heart to see that God is not angry with you. Why? Because Ephesians now tells you he has broken down the middle wall of partition. So you would have thought there was a separation between, or in your mind you think you are far away. But God does that work to bring you, to show you that, oh, I'm actually readily available around you. Yeah, so the Bible tells you in Luke 8, the seed is the word of God. So the sower is the seed, which is the word of God. Did you get that? The sower is the seed, which is the word of God. The sower is the seed, which is the word of God. So the sower, now who is the word of God? John 1:14. And the word was what? Made flesh. So can we say the seed was made flesh? Altogether. So the word is the seed. The seed is Jesus. Jesus is God. So in the beginning was the seed, and the seed was with God. And the seed was God. So God planted himself to bring many sons into glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 4. Look at Mark 4. Mark 4. Hold on. Everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. In Genesis 1:12. Genesis 1:11. He says, the fruits or the tree shall bring forth fruit after his kind. What does after his kind mean? Does that mean plenty? Many? Right? How does John Luke 8 now tell you many, or John 12 tell you many is done? Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Right? Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. So, if he dies, he brings many sons into glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you see, Jesus is the first fruit from the dead. He is the first begotten from the dead. Why? Because that is a template to show you what the harvest looks like. So, when you want to see yourself, you look at Jesus, who is the first fruit. He's the model fruit. He's the model example. Are we together? So, look at Mark 4. Are you in Mark 4? Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Are you in Mark 4, 3? Now, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to what? Okay, hold on. Look at verse 10. So, look at verse 9. And he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Are you there? Are you there? Let him hear what? The story or the parable of the sower that went to sow. Look at verse 10. When he was alone, who was alone? So when he was alone, is that after he gave the parable? So when he was alone, they that were about him, they were about him with the 12, asked him of the parables. Look at verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them is without, are these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, hearing, perceive, and all of that. Look at verse 13 carefully. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? What did he now say? The sower soweth the word. 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 Did you get that? Back to John 12. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and what? Dies, it abides alone. When it dies, what? It brings forth much more fruit. So the seed that has died has brought much fruit. Much more fruit. Hallelujah. So it means that the kingdom of God will be spoken about in a concept of seed and harvest. Are you here? Are you here? The kingdom of God will be spoken with a concept of what? Seed that must die. After being dead or after dying, you will see the what? The harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how does God want people to come into the harvest? Look at Romans 10. Are you Romans 10? Look at verse 8. Look at Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Let's read verse 9 together. Romans 10, 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wait. When he says thou shalt be saved, is that thou shalt be in the harvest? Is that thou shalt be amongst the many fruits? Are we together? So, if thou shalt confess, so it says confess with your mouth and shalt believe in your heart. So, if you're not careful, you would think he's talking about two different things. So, it means you can confess. Now, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Romans 10, 10. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, you can assume that when you just have your heart, it's only righteousness you have. If you don't confess, no salvation. You're only righteous, you are not saved. You see, the word there, confess, is the Greek word homologio. And that's the same word used in 1 John 1 and 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just to forgive us our sins. But we say we have no sin, we call him a liar, right? So when he says if we confess our sins, that word confess is the same word used by Paul in Romans, homologio. Now, homologio is got it from two words, homo, H-O-M-O, and logio, logia, so logos, what you call logos, homologia, homologos, yeah, right? Now, logos, we speak about a thought system, a pattern, or a frame of mind, or a state of mind, or a system, I'll say it again, right? Homo, we speak about one, the same, right? Homo, so when they call people homo, you understand? Beautiful. Okay, homo sapien. That's where your mind went to. That's lovely. Yeah, we stay there. Yeah. So homo sapien, for instance, you get what I mean. When they also call you homo, you get what I mean. Yeah, it's the same, same, same. So when they say homologio, it is same. So, and you say logio is what? Logos, which is thoughts, system, or pattern. So when they say homologio, it is same thoughts, same system, same pattern, same concept. So if we homologio, that is, if we have the same concepts, are we together? If we confess our sin, so the real sense is, if we say the same thing he says about sin, are we here? Are we here? Confession of sin in 1 John 1, 9 is not for the believer. Nobody asks us to confess our sin. You know, Lord Jesus, you know, this week I stole. Yeah, I know, Lord, I know you know. But they say we should tell you, 1 John 1, 9. That's why it tells you in 1 John 2:1. It says, my little children, I write unto you that you know that your sins are forgiven. For the believer, your sins are forgiven. You don't need to confess it. Now, and that doesn't, like, hear what you want to hear. Yeah, that's your business. Because no matter how much you say it, what you want to hear, you hear it. Yeah, so your sins are forgiven doesn't mean you should go and sin because they are forgiven. That's a stupid teaching. Are we together? In fact, that's a stupid thought. Yeah, to think that because pastor says your sins are forgiven, yeah, the pastor says, pastor, you see, you know, there's one example I used to give that day. You know, this is 2000, everyone look at me, this is 2000 years ago. You know that example? Okay, no, you're already laughing. Okay, this is 2000 years ago. This is when Jesus did the work. This is 2021. When Jesus died, where were you? You say, I was in his future. You know that example? You're laughing. Don't be, he's laughing because he has heard me do it. Where were your past sins? They were in his future. Uh-huh. Where were your future sins? They were in his future. Oh, your sins are forgiven. Yes, that is the reality. But the truth doesn't mean that because everything you do is all in his future. Just be seeing him. Just be seeing him and be going. It's all future work. Are we together? Yeah? So, when the Bible says, if you confess your sin, homologio, if you say the same thing he says about sins, what did he say about sins for the believer? My dear children, the second chapter. I want you to know that your sins are forgiven. So you say the same thing about what he says about sin. That the work he has done in the resurrection sorts out sin forever. Are we together? Not wake up every Sunday morning, go to one man behind one curtain and be confessing yourself. He will look away from you. He will not know you. But confession of sin only works on your mind. It doesn't affect any relationship you have with God. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Because God has given you in advance forgiveness of sins. How did he do that? By the giving of the Spirit. For your sins not to be forgiven again, you have to remove the spirit that God put in you. My dear brother and sister, if God put something down, you don't have the power to remove it. You are not as strong as God. You are not even as strong as your neighbor. If you like, go to gym. There's still somebody that is powerful than you. What strongest man? There's still somebody that is not just seen. Go to what's up on that bridge. You see men carry what they are carrying. You know that what strongest man did not try. Are we together? But when God does something spiritual, about telling Ezekiel, say, I'll sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart. My spirit will I put within you. So if God puts his spirit within you, you cannot undo it. That's why it's called eternal salvation. That's why it's called everlasting love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's why he shall not perish. He gave in the resurrection. For a man to have believed the gospel and perish, you have to remove the demonstration of his love, which is the spirit. Romans 5. Yeah. How God demonstrated his love towards us in that way, we are sinners. He gave us the word, the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is a proof that you are born again. The Holy Ghost is a proof that your sins are forgiven. The Holy Ghost is a proof that there is nothing that can pluck you out of his hands. You are forever there. The Holy Ghost is an eternal life that you've received. Are we together? So confession of sin is not to... Look at it. See, let me... Now, can you have a friend that you tell the things you do wrong? What does that help you do? It only makes you more accountable. But you know, some of us now, we have started outgrowing it. Anybody that is an accountability partner, you just do anything you want to do behind closed doors, right? And maintain accountability. Are we together? Yeah? But God doesn't need your confession of sin. But God needs your confession of sin. Did you get that? If you are listening to my explanation, you will get it. God doesn't need your confession of sin, but he needs your confession of sins. So God doesn't need your "I lie, I stole, I steal, I steal." No. If you pay attention closely to God's word, in no distant time you will see your conduct change. There is no man on earth that God's word cannot change. No man. Even the leader of Boko Haram now. And God wants him to change. Are we together? So the confession of sin God looks forward to is the homologia, which is says the same thing he says about sins. My sins are forgiven. He has done the work. I receive. And walk in that consciousness. Are we together? So when he says, for with the heart of man, when he says confess with thy mouth and everything, for the scripture had said in Romans 10:11, he says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whatsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be... Now look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach without being... As it is written in Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of them that what? Preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, the Lord who had believed our what? Reports. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how would they hear if they are not being preached to? And how would they be preached to if they are not being sent? But are you sent already? Yes. Genesis 1:27. Yeah, God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female, right? So he created male and female to be in that kingdom, and it came with an instruction. But now tells you in verse 28, yeah, he says, and God blessed them, and what? He said unto them, be what? Be fruitful and what? Multiply and what? Replenish the earth and what? Subdue. Hallelujah. Yeah, the word there, subdue, really is just to put back in place what is missing or what is out of place. Are we together? Yeah, don't think of subdue the way you think of subdue right now, right? You know how you think of subdue? Yeah? To impose, to overshadow, to lord over. No. The word there is just to put back in place what God's plan would have been or what God's plan really is. Are we together? So, Have you been sent? Yes, so you don't need a special ordination for you to know you've been sent. I hope you know. Pastor doesn't need to call all of you and I say, it's all of you. You see, God sent us, but now I need to ordain all of you. Start to come. New dialogues of you. Start to come. New dialogues. Now you are sent. Okay? From the day you received the Spirit, it came with a sending. All together. It came with a sending. You know, in that Spirit comes go. Are we together? Yeah, so we can call it go Spirit. Amen? In that Spirit comes an instruction. Go. So, God wants the whole earth saved. He has given you His Spirit for you to do His work. Are we together? That's why when you see a believer who is lackadaisical to the things of God, he is not submitting himself to the will of God. Yet, he will be praying, Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. And you are not submitting yourself to His will. What is God's will? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of His truth. That is God's will. So every time, look at it. Every time in the past and in the future, God's will remains the same. All together. How would they hear if they are not preached to? How would they preach to if they are not preachers? How would they preach if they are not sent? That's why it now tells you from Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good tidings of God's peace. It's a privilege to be counted as a servant of God. Dear saints, God has men. I hope you know. God has men. And God needs men. Are we together? God has men. And God needs men. Why do we have ministry gifts? Yeah, we have ministry gifts to train you for the work of ministry. Simple. Whilst your ministry gift might be, while your ministry gift might be particularly involved or be interested in your private life, it's not part of his job description. I hope you know. I hope you know. Ephesians 4. He who ascended is he who descended. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers, evangelists, you know. Says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the education of the body of Christ. We all come into unity of faith, which is in the knowledge of our Lord, of our dear Lord and Savior. So, the work of your ministry gift is to put you in check for training in ministry. So, that you have a pastor who cares over you. Now, the heart of a pastor, you see, the heart of a pastor really is a heart that should care. Are we here? The heart of a pastor is someone that will be filled with your infirmity, partake in it, you know, want to know, be involved, give counsel to you whilst you grow. But in scriptures, the ministry gift is for a purpose, the perfecting of the saints for the work. So if your pastor is involved in your life and telling, oh, pick this job, don't pick this job, marry this girl, don't marry that girl, people from that place are like this, yeah, and yet there's no burning desire in you for ministry, he is not a pastor, he's a man that is leading you to where I don't know. Right? The purpose of your prophet, your pastor, your apostle is for the training for the work of ministry. Why? Because God wants the earth to be saved. Bible says in Habakkuk 2, right? Write this vision and make it plain. Let he that reigns run. Yes, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it may tarry, wait for it. For he shall surely come to pass. For the earth, verse 14, shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory, even as the waters covers the sea. God wants men in their numbers. You know, started on Friday. God wants men in their numbers. You see, the church only grows when we increase in number. That's the real growth. Whilst you have a private growth, private spiritual life, it is the number that matters. Because let me tell you something. There are people who don't teach sound doctrine and will never teach sound doctrine in their life, but they are saved. And God will not call you that no sound doctrine a better son than them. You will never be viewed in God's eyes as a better son than one who is saved, yet a son, but doesn't know sound doctrine. So with your sound doctrine, it is to equip you for the word ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in what? In Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are of God who have become what's concerned about himself. He has given unto us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Therefore, in Christ I beseech you that you go as God's ambassadors. Are we together? God has given you an instruction. He says, be fruitful and multiply as long as you're in the image of God. Genesis 1. God created man in his own image. In his image created him. Who is the image of God there? Christ Jesus, right? So Christ is the image of God. And he now says he created he, them, male and female, in him. And he gives an instruction. For you to be found in Christ, you have an automatic instruction. Are we together? First Peter 2 will tell you. He says, he has given to us a written copy, an example that we should follow. Are we here? An example. So if Luke tells you in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about what? Doing good, healing them who were oppressed. Right? Doing good. How God anointed Jesus is how God has anointed you with his spirit. What are you to do? You go around doing good. You go around doing good. The goodness you can do to a man that is acknowledged by God. Let me say it this way. Yeah, the goodness God expects from you is the goodness of the ministry. The goodness of the message of reconciliation. So, can you be a believer and be doing good to the poor, yet you're not doing good to scriptures? Yes, you can. A lot of us do that. Yeah, we send our money. You know, interestingly, we now have people who collect money for the goers. You know, Pastor, you know, there are three categories of people in the church. You have the first category, you have the goers, you have the groaners, and you have the givers. Three G's. The goers are those who go. The groaners are those who stay behind and pray for the goers. Why the givers gives both the groaner and the goer. And a lot of times, a lot of those people that are goers, is because it's life that pushed them there. If they had the money to be givers, they would say, they will stay by and not groan. Who groan there? You know, some people believe that. You know, somebody was just telling you, saying, you know, after, when that passed, you know, you just come together and just thank God for 1 hour on Sunday and just, I just give praise and, you know, this ministry thing. Don't give yourself. Do you know what killed the men in Acts? The same ministry. They arrested the apostles in Acts 4. As soon as they came out, they said, don't preach. Oh. They went into the street and preached. They stoned Paul at the gate of Lystra. He went back into Lystra to preach. Peter also died. He says, you know what? You crucify Jesus like this. I cannot. Can you imagine men doing work of ministry, choosing how they want to die? John, who you called that wrote the book of Revelation, he was put into deep oil, boiling oil. You know yourself now. What used to feel like fried dodo? You cut dodo, you put pot on the stove. You are social distancing. You are doing social distancing. You're under the oil. Under your pudra, you just cut the cord, you'll be throwing the dodo small. And once you do that, you step back. When the thing comes down again, you go and turn it, as if you have confidence. They put human being inside there. After they put him there, they saw he did not die. You know what happened? They now threw him to the island of Patmos. That's where he wrote the book of Revelation. In pain. I want to be scared to read it. They threw him inside there. I want to be scared to read a man experience like that. Altogether, look at Andrew. Andrew said, Jesus was crucified like this. Peter was crucified upside down. Me is cross. They were choosing their death. Pardon me, right? They tore the first layer of the skin. They removed it. In fact, you know what happened to him? They first of all hung him on the cross. He didn't die. They brought him down. They removed. I think he's the one. They removed his skin. He didn't still die. You know what they now did? They beheaded him. All for the gospel. All for the gospel. Yet you have the grievers, you have the groaners, and the goers. If the apostles handled what God committed to their hands the way you are handling Christianity, will the message of truth get to you today? Think about the future of people. See, people are in ignorance. There are people that are in darkness, unbelievers. There are people that are in light, but in ignorance. It is work. That's why I keep telling some of you, if you were the pastor of a church, will you do what you are doing? Will you come late for services? It's because somewhere in your mind, you think that until you get to the position of a leader or a pastor, you cannot be committed. And then after what happens, you see people doing commitment because of the position they are looking forward to. Are we together? He says, in him, right? In the image of God created he them, male and female. Galatians now tells you, there is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek, neither rich nor poor, neither master nor slave. Every master, every slave has been given an instruction to go. Let me say it this way. Every master, every slave, every male, every female has been given an instruction to give, to groan, and to go. Did you hear that? Every man on earth who is born again. It's instructed in scriptures. You are to give, you are to groan. How together? What will grow? Look at Jesus. Casually went to the mountain with the disciples. When they went by 1 hour, he came by and said, you are sleeping. 1 hour. Three times they were sleeping. What did he tell them afterwards? Sleep on. Dear saints, the energy you have today is not a curse. You will never have it for the rest of your life. Can you hear me? It's not a curse. The strength you have in your body today, you will not have it for the rest of your life. You will not be 90 and look the way you are looking. You are still wearing heels now. You are still wearing heels. They are still pinned up for you. You are still putting your heels inside the cab to follow you to church. When you get to the church, you just bring it down. You walk with slippers to the door. You just wear the heels and yet you still have the energy today. A time will come, they will attach the slippers to your leg. You use it to bath. You use it to go out. You still use it to church. No, it's not attaching. They will attach it to your leg. You will need to come. You will not have the strength. You still know what Instagram is. A time will come, your eyes will not see as you're seeing now. Sister Rose, is not a curse. Go and ask your grandma. What I will see, she will not see. Is that not true?
Yes.
What I will see, she will not see. No, you'll be watching TV with the same people. You are seeing man, somebody is seeing woman. The same TV, LED screen, curve, 52 inches. We are in our body, we're in the flesh. Your body will. So we keep. So, yeah, is there a time to take care of yourself? Yes, there is. Is there a time to rest? But you know the unfortunate thing? A lot of us are resting without doing anything. You are in the house, you didn't go out. Your wife or your mother went to the market to go and spend 3 hours to buy things for the house. She to say she wants to enter the room and rest. You enter the room and rest. What did you do? How together? There's a place to rest. But think, always ask yourself a question. If Peter handled the gospel the way I'm handling it, will I get it today? You see, I'm standing on the shoulders of men who have gone ahead of me. Right? I'm not a self-made man. I always say it. I'm standing on the shoulders of men who have given their concentration, commitment to the things of God. So that is an example for me to follow. And it's your example to follow. Peter tells you, let the elders who have rule amongst you, right, lead in examples, not lording over God's heritage. Yes, we know that. But you should know. Not until you become a leader, you are committed. No. Let the blind be able to see your commitment and attest to it. Why? He has given an instruction. Go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. Black, white, pink, yellow, orange, everybody. There is work on earth. And you know what? He gave us the best thing that we need, which is what? His Spirit. I have looked into your word. I've looked into your heart. All I see is your law. Your plan for every man. Moving in all that. Hold on. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? Heavens and the earth. And the earth was without what? Form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, what? Moved. Look at this. I see your Spirit moving in all the earth, causing men to worship. So how does God's Spirit move when you move? So the Spirit of God that moved upon the earth in Genesis 1 is seen as a prophet. Remember we said something on Friday. Genesis is a book that opened up with a what? A prophecy. So Genesis, Moses, Genesis 1:1 is a prophecy. Darkness upon the face of the deep. That is men. Those are men. And what happens? The Spirit moves. How does the Spirit move? The Spirit moves when you move. If you don't move, the Spirit doesn't move. See, without you, the Spirit is helpless. You didn't hear that? Without a man on earth, the Spirit is helpless. So how does the Spirit move? I see your Spirit moving in all the earth, causing men to worship you, every tongue and tribe, proclaiming you are God. You gave your very best. Gave us your very best. You gave your Spirit so we can reach the world. You gave your very best. You gave your very best. Gave us your very best. Gave us your very best. Gave us your Spirit to reach. God is a worldly God. God is a multitudinal God. God doesn't see few. God sees plenty. He says, as the waters covers the sea, God wants to see men in their numbers. That is why as Christians, even though you have fellow brethren, fellow pastors, people, or churches who don't teach sound doctrine, that there are men who believe the gospel that are found in God's kingdom is a place to give thumbs up. Don't come and start doing exegesis and say it's not by number. Dear saints, God needs men. How many people can you preach to per day? Let's say you were jobless. Let's say you were jobless. How many people can you preach to per day? How many people are in the world? All together. God wants men saved. God wants men saved. So when a local church comes up with meetings, it's not because I want to show that I can do meetings. I'm not teaching for 7 hours, 10 hours, because I want to show you that, hey, I can stand for long. You now come and say, sorry, pastor, pardon, pastor. No! It's to train you for the assignment. So if you're a member of a local church, you don't select meetings. You don't select the meetings. You know, this one, pastor, will you? No, this one, let me just. You don't select meetings. You are there for training. It is God's will. Why do we have so many Christians who don't go out for evangelism? A lot of them is because they don't know what to say and they are scared they will ask them questions and trap them. Altogether, you know, as a Christian, you don't know so much. Because that's why you call it faith. Eh? Faith, you might not really, you know the Christian faith? The Christian faith is such that you come into the faith to understand what you believed. Do you understand what I was going to say? You don't necessarily, how many of you understood what crucifixion was when you say, I take Jesus into my life? What did you know? The Christian faith is such that you believe, they understand. That's why it's called faith. You believe, then you understand. So you believe to understand. So it means that in your study, you have to find out or understand what you have believed. Not to try to look for holes. Do you understand? The Christian faith is not trying to look for where the thing is not balanced. That's why it's faith. You will understand it one day. If your time on earth did not let you understand, you will understand it one day at the feet of Jesus. Are we together? But why do we do what we do? Because you have believed. You want to what? Understand what you have believed. When the Bible tells you that your sins are forgiven, what does that mean? How can you say your sins are forgiven by just believing? I how do you say that prayer again? I, Joshua, I take you to be the Lord and personal Lord of my life. I make a U-turn. U-turn. You know, like I always say, if you are driving to Osogoro and you make U-turn, you're not going back to where you're coming from. You're coming from Wuse to Asokoro, you make U-turn to Asokoro. Is that not back to Wuse? Yeah, I'm just joking there. But really, we know the concept of U-turn. And don't make a deal from U-turn. If they say U-turn, U-turn, everybody U-turn. He's driving school. Everybody will be all right. The goal is that men need to be saved. Men need to be saved. Right? Men need to be saved. Their sins. Oh my goodness. There are men in darkness. There are men in fact, we can boldly say we have more men in darkness than men in light. Think about your office. Think about your church. And your locality, your village, your state, your country. We have more men in darkness than men in light. What does God want? He gave you his spirit so you can watch, you can reach the world. He gave you his spirit. So when you see a man in darkness, don't chicken out from preaching to him. No matter where you are in the world, don't chicken out. Yeah, he's a man in darkness and needs light. He might have all the money you think in the world, but he's a man that needs the wealth that you possess, the wealth, the riches of Christ. The riches of God's mercy found in Christ. Riches of the abundance of that which God has given, which is the Spirit. He needs God's Spirit. Are we together? Dear saints, the seed has fallen to the ground. It has died. And we now have the first fruit as a model example that we follow. That's what they use first fruit to teach across scriptures. Yeah, pointing to the first fruit from the dead. The first fruit from the dead. Jesus is the first fruit from the dead. So he's the first begotten. In that same manner, we will be begotten. Yeah, we will give room. We will give up this mortal flesh and live in the supernatural. And we will live in the sphere of God. We will live with an abundance of life. Right? I've come that I should give him life in abundance. What's the abundance? It is the eternal nature of the life we've received. Not money, not car, not house, not job, not company, not complex. Not plaza. Not estate, not car, not jet, not airports. No, it is the riches of his mercy. God's richest man on earth is that man which esteems the riches of Christ, the riches of his spirit. That's God's richest man. God's richest man on earth is one who esteems that which God has put in the believer, the indwelling of the Spirit. God's richest man is not that man that has money. No, you can have money and be poor to God. But riches to God is found. Look at Moses in Hebrews. He says, Moses looked forward to the city. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the riches of the moment. Moses, he esteemed the reproach as greater riches. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches. What do you esteem in your life? What do you esteem in your heart? Do you place in premium value? Do you place a priority on the Spirit which God has given you? Do you place a priority? Because if you place a priority on the Spirit God has given you, you place a priority on the instruction that comes with the Spirit. What is the instruction? Go ye into the world. You see the assurance. It says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. Why do you have God's Spirit in you? So that you can reach the world. So you can reach men. Enough of all this, you see, don't be a believer for years and your pastor is still asking about you, asking by you, asking through you. Why were you not in church? Why did you come for this meeting? No, don't be that believer. It's a slap on your face. Be the reason why your local church is fulfilling God's will on earth. Be the reason why your local church is accomplishing God's plan on earth. Be that person who your local church pastor will look at you and say, wow, thank God for brother so-and-so. Thank God for sister so-and-so. For we see, God's kingdom is now coming. God's kingdom. As I said, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, we said the word in heaven deals with what? Supernatural, the Spirit. So, our Father in the Spirit, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, what? Come, thy will is done in earth as it is in the heavens, which is in the Spirit. What did he now say? He says, give us this day our daily bread. The word there, daily, is the word that means sufficient, eternal bread. We have received of his bread. In that bread comes an instruction to go. How do you know the bread is eternal? The next verse tells you, you forgive us our sins, so we forgive others. Right? You know, you would have thought, you forgive us as we know. It is he forgave us, then we forgive. That is God's will being done on earth. Are we together? So when we sing, I surrender, take my life, take my heart, take my desires, take my plan, really let it reflect in your conduct. Yeah, let it reflect in your conduct. You are saved to more work. Hallelujah. You are saved to more work. I shouldn't be the only disciple in God's palace. Are we here? Because you are a discipler. What is in me that makes me a discipler is what is in you, which is the Spirit. And you know the funny thing about God's Spirit? God's Spirit is uniform across all men who believe. You hear that? God's Spirit is uniform across all men who believe. The difference you have between men a lot of times is the commitment, consistency, and the direction they pay attention to. That's what causes the difference a lot of times. Are we together? Are we together? You can reach to lost souls. Men can be saved through your teaching. Close. Let it be that this time next year, yes, I can look at you and say, brother, sister, who is in the faith today because of you? Who has been in the faith because of you? Who is in the Christian faith because of you? Not who have you sent because of your theory. Right? Who is praying more today because you taught them prayer from scriptures? Who is fasting more today because you taught them fasting from scriptures? Not I don't pray and fast again because it's victory, victory, done. Yeah, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Oh God, we fight from victory to victory. Yes, we receive the victory of the resurrection, but there's a victory that is needed for the earth to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his truth. What will you do differently this year? What will you do differently this year? What will you do differently this year for God's kingdom? Is it not going to be beautiful to hear, well done, my faithful, good and faithful servant. You've done well on the earth. If God tells you that, is that not pleasure on its own in itself? Well done, my good and faithful servant. That is the crown we need. That is the crown. When we're small, when you did well in school, you came back home, your father will say, that's my son. You didn't do well. That's your mother. Are we together? Eh? Son of his father. When you don't do well, son of his mother. Why? A father will always be proud of the good works you do. Let me tell you something. The fact that you don't come first, do you change? Either he calls you your mother's son. I know he's the son. But remember what, remember how your head will swell. Well done, my son. You too, you mention your son's name again, and you grow. Your father tells you what? Imagine God, the creator of the universe, creator of the new creation, looks at you and say, wow, well done, my dear daughter. You've done well. That's a crown! That's a crown! You don't have to look for the metal crown they'll put on your head. No, that's the crown! The words of God over your life. The words of Jesus, the audience of Jesus. What you call the judgment seat. There is a judgment seat, dear saints. There is, oh! There is a judgment seat, oh! The Bema seat of God. Where he sits. And you see, because he's a just God. And you see that his judgment is seen in the fact in your work. Your works are judged. Your works are, they will be judged, though. They will, oh. They will. Don't let this thing get into you too much and you forget that there's another aspect of the Christian faith. They will be judged. And God will say, well done. God will say, well done, you've done well. God will say, well done, you've done well. And God will say, yes, you are my son. Yes, you are my son. Is that one still good? It is. But which is, would you think is better? Hallelujah. So this year, I wanted to make a commitment to God. And when we're saying this year, you see, you know, when we talk about the year, we're not necessarily so spectacular about, you know, like for example, we didn't do crossover video because, okay, we're crossing over now. All right, let's cross over. We're crossing over now. June 9th, we enter 2022. Yeah, because what we do a lot of times is we just go to church for that 31st and we'll put projector screen 10, 9, 8, 6. Yeah, Happy New Year! Greet 100 people around you. Greet 100 people around you. New Year, new me. As you left that place, you left your new you. You went back home with your old you. You now come back 2022 again, 2023. Happy New Year! This time, your church now do knockout. Banga. New Year, new me. See, to be having New Year, new me, weigh yourself. Has anything changed? So the newness of a year is found in the newness of your decisions. The things you do, the things you say you want to do, and actually keep and stay there. Are we here this morning? Are we here this morning? What do you want to do differently this year? See, this year, I don't want to miss more than 3 meetings. And that's because that. This year, I'm going to come for every Wednesday meeting by 6 o'clock. This year, I'm going to come for every Sunday meeting, every believers meeting. Pastor has given us all we need, all the dates we need. I'm going back home now. The first thing you need to do, go lock your calendar on your phones. Put an alarm. Remind yourself. Write down things. Even if it's to write down how you want to read your Bible. Every 7 o'clock, read 3 chapters. Let it remind you. Not the one to remind you, you mute it. You try to mute it. It doesn't mean to remove the battery. No, not those kind of, you will still be your old you. No, you scold yourself. You get up from the bed. You want to pray every day by 1 a.m. You 1 a.m., you ring it. Not that you put off the alarm at 10 o'clock. You say you forgot by 1 a.m. How do you approach the things of God? How do you approach the things of God? That is what truly matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my all. I give you my plan. I give you my desires. I give you all that I am. All that I am is for you, Lord. This year, I will change. Let your volume increase. Don't reduce it there. Say, this year, I will change. I will be more committed to the things of God. The things of God will be priority for me. So help me God. You know, when I say so help me God, it's a prophecy that is fulfilled already in you. God is your help. What do you do now? You help yourself. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and just pray for a few minutes while we close today. Just bow your heads and pray for a few minutes. That this year will not be the usual conventional year where I come, hear messages like this and go back home. Hear messages like this and go back to my old me. No, this year will be different. Yes, take out time to pray for, like we said on Friday, pray for your pastor, pray for your local assembly, pray for members in your church, pray for men you are doing ministry with, yeah, pray for men who have the rule over you, pray for men who you are submitted to, pray for your local assembly, pray for the body of Christ, pray for all that God will have you pray for your eyes of understanding, that this year you will do better, right, you will do better, you will give more. You will grow more and you will go more. You will give more. You will grow more and you will give more. You will give more. You will grow more and you will go more. 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 When it's comfortable, you will go. When it's convenient, you will go. When it's convenient, you will go. When it's convenient, you will go. When it's not convenient, you will go. When it's not convenient, you will groan. When it's not convenient, you will groan. When it's not convenient, you will groan. When it's not convenient, you will give. When it's not convenient, you will give. When it's not convenient, you will give. You give your all. And when you say you give your all, you keep your money. That's not giving your all. That's giving some. Oh, to Jesus, I surrender. You sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it. Your hand is tight. Your pocket is tight. Your vigil times are relaxed. You don't pray daily again. You don't read the word daily again because you know some new creation realities. No, no. Knowledge is to spur in you more desire and passion. More commitment for the things of God. More commitment for the things that really matter. More commitment for the things that will actually count. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying.